BBC World Theatre presents Margaret Leighton and John Clements in The Lady from the Sea by Henrik Ibsen.
Well, Ballister, can you make it work?
Why, yes, Miss Belletta. It's nothing very much. May I ask if you're expecting visitors?
Well, yes, Mr. Arnholm is coming. He arrived in town last night.
Arnholm? Now, wasn't there an Arnholm who was your tutor some years ago?
That's right, it's him.
Well, well, is he in these parts again?
That's why we'd so like to have the flag.
Yes, well, that's very reasonable.
Good morning.
Oh, good morning. There we are. Up it goes. There. Good morning to you, my dear sir. I don't really think I've had the pleasure.
You're a painter, aren't you?
Yes, certainly I am, amongst other things.
Oh, yes, I can see. Would you let me come in for a moment?
Would you care to have a look at my work?
Yes, please, I'd very much like to.
There's nothing much to see yet, but come in. Come along.
Oh. Thank you.
I'm just trying to get that bit of fjord there. In between the islands.
Oh, yes, I can see.
There's going to be a figure. But it's almost impossible to find models in this town.
Will there be a figure, too?
By this rock in the foreground, there'll be a mermaid lying almost dead.
Why almost dead?
She's wandered in from the sea and can't find her way back. So here she lies, dying in the marshy water.
Oh, yes, I see.
It was the lady of the house who gave me the idea.
What will you call the picture when it's finished?
I thought I'd call it The Dying Mermaid.
Oh, that's very good. Yes, you really should be able to make something out of this.
A man of the trade yourself, perhaps.
You mean a painter?
Yes.
Oh, no, no, I'm not. But I am going to be a sculptor. My name is Hans Lingstrand.
So, you are going to be a sculptor. Well, well. Sculpture is a pretty pleasant sort of art. Haven't I seen you about? Have you been with us long?
No, just a fortnight.
Enjoying the pleasures of the season? Yes?
Yes, I want to try and build up my strength a bit.
Not an invalid, I hope.
Well, yes, my health is not all that good, but it's nothing to worry about. I just get a little bit short of breath sometimes in my chest.
Poor, my dear fellow. All the same, you ought to see a good doctor.
I thought I'd speak to Dr. Wangel if I get the chance.
Good idea. Here comes another steamer, crammed with passengers. It's simply amazing how the tourist trade has grown during the last few years.
Were you born here?
No, but I've acclimatized myself. I feel myself bound to the place by bonds of time and custom.
Hilda, see if you can find the embroidered footstool for Father.
Good morning, Miss Wangel.
Oh, why, Mr. Lingstrand, isn't it? Good morning. Excuse me a minute, Alger.
Do you know the family?
No, not very well. I've only met the young ladies once or twice, and I've talked a little with Mrs. Wangel last time the band played up at the Prospect, and she said I might come and visit them.
Ah, you know what? You should cultivate their acquaintance.
Well, yes, I did think of calling on them, paying a visit, as they say. If only I could think of an excuse.
What? Excuse? The steamer's by the pier already. I must go down to the hotel. Perhaps some of the new arrivals may require my services. I act as a barber, too, you see.
Oh, you're very versatile.
Well, you have to acclimatize yourself in a small town. If you should want anything in the way of hairdressing, a little pomade or such, just ask for Ballasted, the dancing master.
Dancing master?
Or the leader of the woodwind ensemble. This evening we're having a little concert up at the Prospect.
Goodbye.
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 Good morning, Miss Hilda.
Belletta said you had ventured in today.
Oh, yes, I took the liberty of coming in.
Have you been for a walk?
Oh, no, not much walking today.
Then have you been bathing?
Yes, I did have a little dip. I saw your mother down there. She was going into her bathing hut.
Who?
Your mother.
Oh, I see. There, that's where the footstool should go, Belletta.
You didn't see Father's boat out on the fjord?
Oh, yes, I think I saw a boat that was standing too. Oh,
that'll be Father. He's been out to the islands visiting patients.
How splendid the veranda looks with all the flowers.
Yes, it is pretty, isn't it?
Oh, yes, it's beautiful. It looks as though you were celebrating.
We are.
I should have guessed it must be your father's birthday.
No, mother's.
Oh, your mother's.
Hilda,
let me be. Are you going back to lunch now?
Yes, I suppose I should go and see about something to eat.
I'm sure you live like a lord at the hotel.
Oh, I'm not at the hotel now. It was too expensive for me.
Well, where are you now?
I'm staying up at Madame Jensen's.
Which Madame Jensen?
The midwife.
Excuse me, Mr. Lyngstrand, but I really have a great deal to attend to, and...
I should not have said that.
Said what?
What I said.
I altogether fail to understand you.
Well, I'll say goodbye for the present, ladies.
Oh, goodbye. Goodbye, Mr. Lyngstrand. You really must excuse us today, but some other time, when you've nothing better to do, and if you feel like it, well, you really must come and see Father and the rest of us.
Oh, thank you. I should like to very much. Goodbye.
Ta-ta, monsieur. My love to Mother Jensen.
Hilda, you beast. Are you absolutely mad? He could easily hear you.
What do I care?
Oh, here comes Father.
So, here I am again, girl.
Oh, it's lovely to see you again.
Are you finished for the day now, Father?
Oh, no. I'll have to go down to the surgery for an hour or so. Well, now, has Arnholm arrived?
Yes, he came last night. The hotel sent a message.
You haven't seen him yet?
No, but he's bound to come here this morning.
Yes, of course he will.
Now, Father, you must look.
Yes, I see, child. It looks very pretty.
Haven't we done it nicely?
Yes, I really must say. Are we alone in the house?
Yes, she's gone to...
Mother is bathing.
Now, listen, girls. Do you really want to keep this up all day? The flag as well?
Oh, but Father, you know why.
Yes. But you see...
But you know very well we've done it for Mr. Arnholm. When such a dear friend comes to see you.
He was Valletta's tutor, Father.
You two are a cunning pair. Well, goodness knows it's only natural that we should want to remember your mother. All the same, no, girls, I don't like this at all. I mean, the way it's done. Every year we... Well, what can I say? I suppose there's nothing else one can do.
Oh, look! That man coming along the road. I'm sure it's the tutor.
Him? Oh, you silly. That middle-aged man, Mr. Arnholm.
Just a minute. Bless my soul. It is him. Yes, it is. Yes.
Yes. Goodness me. I think you...
Good morning.
My dear Arnholm, how good to see you. Welcome back.
Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Wangel. Thank you. And here we have the children. I should scarcely have known them again.
I can believe that.
Ah, well, perhaps Bolletta. Yes, I should have known Bolletta.
It's 8 or 9 years since you last saw her. Oh, yes. There'll be many changes here since then.
Oh, I wouldn't quite say that. Well, the trees have grown a little. And you've made that summer house.
Oh, not outwardly, I dare say.
And now you have 2 grown-up daughters.
Only one is grown up.
Listen to Father.
Shall we go and sit on the veranda? It's cooler than here.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Doctor. Thank you.
There, now. You just make yourself comfortable and take things easy. You're really looking rather exhausted after your journey.
Oh, it's nothing. Just to be back here.
Would you like some fruit juice and soda water in the garden room? It'll soon be too hot out here.
That's a good idea. Fruit juice and soda water. And a little brandy, perhaps.
Brandy as well?
Oh, just a little. In case anyone should feel like it.
All right, then.
Hilda, will you take the bag down to the surgery?
Of course, Father.
What a delightful... What delightful girls they've grown into.
Yes, I think so, too.
It's amazing how Bolletta and Hilda... But how about you, my dear doctor? Have you settled down here for good?
Oh, it looks like it. I was born and bred here, as they say. I was wonderfully happy here with her who was taken from us so soon. She was still with us when you were here, Arnholm.
Yes, yes.
And now I live so happily with the one who has come to me in her place. I must say, on the whole, things have gone very well with me.
You and your second wife have no children?
We had a little boy 2.5 years ago. But we didn't keep him long. He died when he was 4 or 5 months old.
Oh. Yeah. Is your wife not at home today?
Oh, she'll be here soon. She's down bathing. She bathes every single day, whatever the weather is like.
Of her health? She's not ill, is she?
Oh, not exactly ill. She's been very nervy in this last couple of years, off and on. I don't really know what is the matter with her, but to get into the water is an absolute necessity to her. You know.
I remember.
Yes, yes. You knew Elida when you were teaching out at Schulvik.
Oh, she often came over to the vicarage when I was tutor there, and then I generally saw her when I went out to the lighthouse to visit her father.
The life out there had a tremendous effect on her, you know. People in the town can't understand her. They call her the Lady from the Sea.
Oh, do they indeed?
Yeah. And that's why... Talk to her about the old days, my dear Arnholm. I'm sure it will help her.
Have you any particular reason for thinking so?
Yes, I have.
Is that you, Wangel?
Yes, my dear. Here comes the mermaid.
Thank God you're home again. When did you get here?
Now, a little while ago. But aren't you going to say hello to an old friend?
Oh, you're here. Welcome. Forgive me that I wasn't at home.
Oh, please.
Was the water nice and fresh?
Fresh? Oh, the water's never fresh here. Warm and flat. The water is sickly here in the fjords.
Sickly?
Yes, it is sickly. I think it makes us sickly, too.
Well, you're a fine advertisement for our bathing resort.
I think, Mrs. Wangel, you perhaps have a special affinity to the sea and everything to do with it.
Perhaps... I almost think so myself. But look, do you see how the girls have decorated everything in your honour?
Well, I must be getting on.
Is it really for me?
Well, of course. Oh, we're not as fine as this every day. Oh, it's hot under this roof. Come over to the summer house. At least there's a breath of air there.
Oh, I think the air's quite fresh here.
Oh, you're used to that stuffy city. I hear one can't breathe in summer.
Elida, dear, will you entertain our friend by yourself for a while?
Do you have some work to do?
Yes, I must go down to the surgery and then I'll change.
Oh, don't hurry, my dear doctor. Your wife and I'll manage to pass the time.
Yes. Yes, I'm sure. Well, for the moment, then.
It's nice here, isn't it?
I think it's very nice. Yes. When I last saw you, out at Schulvik, it's a long time now.
It's a good 10 years.
Huh? Yes, it must be. Well, have you ever told your husband anything about me? Well, I mean, of course, about that ill-judged letter I was once rash enough to send
you. Oh, no. How could you think I would? I've never said a word to him about what you refer to.
Oh, I'm glad. I felt just a little embarrassed.
Oh, you needn't have been. I've only told him what was true. That I was very fond of you, and that you were the best and truest friend I ever had out there.
Oh, thank you.
Have you never thought of marrying since?
Never. I've stayed faithful to my memories.
Oh, let those sad old memories rest. You'll do better to think of becoming a happy husband.
I'll have to look sharp then, Mrs. Wangel. I'm ashamed to say I'm over 37.
Oh, all the more reason not to waste time. But... Now, listen, my dear Arnholm. I'm going to tell you something I couldn't possibly have told you then.
What is it?
When you sent me that ill-judged letter, as you call it, I couldn't have given you any other answer.
You had only friendship for me, I know that.
But you don't know that all my thoughts and feelings were elsewhere. All that matters is that you know that I wasn't free, and now you do know.
And if you had been free?
What then?
Would your answer to my letter have been different?
How can I tell? When Wangel came, my answer was different.
Well, then why bother to tell me that you weren't free?
Because I must talk to someone.
Your husband, then, knows nothing.
I told him from the first that I'd once been in love with someone else. He's never wanted to know more, and we've never even mentioned it since. In any case, it was insane, and it was all over. It was so soon, at least... At least, in a way.
In a way?
Not altogether?
Oh, yes, yes, of course. Oh, my dear Arnholm, it isn't what you think. It's something so incomprehensible. I don't know how I could tell you it. Oh, you'd only think I was ill or mad.
My dear Mrs. Wangel, you must and shall tell me all about it.
All right. I'll try. You're a sensible man. How would you explain? I'll tell you later if someone's coming.
Are you looking for the girls, Mr. Lyngstrand?
Oh, are you there, Mrs. Wangel? Oh, no, it's not them. It's not the young ladies. It's you yourself, Mrs. Wangel. You remember you said I might come and visit you?
Oh, yes, of course I did. You're always welcome. Oh,
thank you. As I was so fortunate to hear of your celebration today.
Oh, so you know, do you?
Oh, rather. May I be so bold as to offer you these, Mrs. Wangel?
Oh, but my dear Mr. Lyngstrand, oughtn't you yourself to give your beautiful flowers to Mr. Arnholm?
I'm so sorry, I don't know this gentleman. It's only I've come because of the birthday, Mrs. Wangel.
Birthday? Well, there's been some mistake, Mr. Lyngstrand. There's no birthday here today.
Oh, I know all about it, but I didn't think it was such a secret.
What do you know?
That it's your birthday.
Mine?
Today, surely not.
What makes you think that?
Well, Miss Hilda let it out. I was here just for a few minutes earlier on, and I asked the young ladies what all the decorations were for. Flowers and flags and Miss Hilda said, of course, for today's Mother's birthday.
Mother's? Oh.
Since the young man knows now, Mrs. Wangel...
Yes, since you know...
Well, may I then wish you many happy returns with this bouquet.
Thank you so much. Won't you sit down a moment, Mr. Lyngstrand? This about my birthday was to have been a secret, Mr. Arnholm.
I see, not for us outsiders.
Not for outsiders.
Well, I promise I won't mention it to a living soul.
Oh, it isn't important. But how are you? I think you're looking a little better.
I think I'm getting on very well. And next year, perhaps, I will be able to go south.
Yes, the girls told me.
There's a man in Bergen who has been very good to me, my patron. And he's promised to help me next year.
Well, how did you come to meet him?
It was so lucky. I went to sea in one of his ships.
Did you? Oh, so you wanted to be a sailor?
Oh, no, not at all, but... Well, after Mother died, my father didn't want me hanging around the house, and so he sent me to sea. And then we were wrecked in the English Channel on the way home, luckily for me.
Oh, why luckily?
Oh, well, it was because the ship sank that I got my weakness in my chest. I was in the icy water for such a long time before they picked me up, and so I had to give up all thoughts of being a sailor. It really was a bit of luck.
You think so?
Oh, yes, the weakness in my chest isn't dangerous. And now I can be a sculptor. And that's what I've always longed for. Just think to model in exquisite clay that will feel so deliciously between your fingers.
And what are you going to model? Will it be mermen and mermaids, or will it be bold Vikings?
No, nothing like that. As soon as I can, I'm going to try and do a big piece of work, a group.
Oh, indeed. And what is the group to be?
Oh, it'll be something out of my own experience.
Ah, yes, much better stick to that.
But what is it going to be?
Yes. Well, I thought I would have a young woman lying asleep and strangely restless. She's dreaming. Well, I think I can make it so that you can see that she's dreaming.
Oh, won't there be anything else?
Oh, yes, there will be another figure. You could call it an apparition. It's her husband. You see, she's been unfaithful to him while he was away.
What?
And now he's drowned.
Drowned?
Yes. Drowned at sea. But he's come home. It's night. And he stands by her bed and looks down at her. And he stands there dripping wet, just as you are when they drag you up from the sea.
Ah, that's strange. I can just imagine.
But how on earth, you said it would be something you'd experienced yourself.
Yes, well, this happened to me in a way.
What, you saw a dead man?
Oh, no, it wasn't quite like that, but all the same.
Tell me about it. I want to know.
Anything to do with the sea?
What happened, Mr. Lyngstrand?
Well, we were sailing home from a town called Halifax, and we had to leave our bosun behind in hospital. So we took on an American in his place. This new bosun...
The American?
Yes. He got the captain to lend him some old newspapers, and he was always reading them. He said he wanted to learn Norwegian.
Yes, and then?
Well, there was a very heavy sea one night. All hands were on deck except this bosun and me, because he'd sprained his ankle and couldn't walk, and... Well, I wasn't very well. I was lying on my bunk. Well, there he sat in the forecastle reading these old newspapers.
Yes.
And as he was sitting there, suddenly I heard him give a sort of howl. And when I looked at him, I could see that his face was as white as chalk. And then he began to crumple the paper and tear it into bits. But he did it so quietly, so quietly.
Didn't he say anything? Didn't he speak?
Not at first, but after a while he said to himself, "She's married to another man while I was away."
He said that?
Yes, and do you know, he said it in perfect Norwegian. He must have been good at languages, that man.
And then, what happened then?
Well, then this extraordinary thing. I'll never forget it. Very calmly, he said, "But mine she is, and mine she shall remain. And she shall follow me, though I have to go home and fetch her like a drowned man from the angry sea."
Oh, how close it is.
And he said it with such force of will that I knew he could do it.
Do you know what has become of this man?
He's dead, Mrs. Vangel.
Why do you think that?
Well, just afterwards, the ship was wrecked. I was in the longboat with the captain and five others, and the American got into the dinghy with a mate and another man.
And no one has heard of him since?
No, no one, Mrs. Vangel. That's why I so want to make it into a work of art. The faithless wife, I can just see her, and the man who is drowned and comes home from the sea for revenge. Oh, I can just see them both.
So can I. Let's go down to Vangel. It's terribly oppressive here.
I think I must be going. It was just to be a little visit to wish you a happy birthday.
Just as you like. Goodbye. Thank you for the flower.
Goodbye, Mr. Arnholm.
I can see you're upset, dear Mrs. Vangel.
Yes, you could put it that way.
But still, it's something you had to be prepared for.
Prepared?
Oh, yes, I think so.
For him to come back, and in such a way.
What on earth? Do you mean it was that ridiculous sculptor's yarn?
Oh, my dear Arnholm, perhaps he's not so ridiculous.
But that nonsense about a dead man, that has upset you. Well, I thought...
What did you think?
I naturally thought you were just play-acting. I thought you were upset because you'd found out about this secret family anniversary that your husband and his children have memories that you couldn't share.
Oh, no, no, no. I have no right to demand that my husband should belong only to me.
I should have thought you had.
But I haven't. That's just the point. I myself have something that they can't share.
You? What do you mean, that you aren't really happy with your husband?
Oh, yes, yes, yes. I've come to love him with all my heart. Well, that's just why it's so terrible, so... inexplicable, inconceivable.
Won't you tell me what's making you so unhappy, please, Mrs. Vangel?
I can't, my dear friend. At least, no, not now, but perhaps later.
Father is just changing. He'll be here soon. Shall we all sit together in the garden room?
Yes, do let's.
Well, that's that. Here I am, at last. Now, how about a glass of something nice and cool?
Yes, but look here.
Oh, I say, what lovely flowers. Where did you get them?
I got them from Mr. Lyngstrand, my dear Hilda.
Lyngstrand?
Has Lyngstrand been here again?
Yes. He brought these in honor of the birthday, you know.
Oh, the beast.
Yes. Well, you see, perhaps I ought to tell you, my dear Elida...
Let's put my flowers in water with the others, shall we?
She's nice, really.
Monkey tricks. She's only putting it on to please Father.
Thank you. Thank you. I don't know how to thank you for this, Alida.
But why should I not join you in celebrating Mother's birthday?
But Hilda, why are we running away from Lyngstrand?
Oh, I can't bear going uphill so slowly. Look! Look at him crawling up.
Now, you know how ill he is.
Oh, do you think it's really serious?
It certainly is.
He came to see Father this afternoon. I'd love to know what Father thinks.
Father told me he has a hardening of the lungs, something like that. Father says he won't live long.
No. Did he really? Funny, that's just what I thought.
For goodness sake, don't let him see.
What do you think I am? Look, he's managed to crawl up.
Behave yourself, please.
Oh, young ladies, Oh, I'm so sorry I couldn't keep up with you.
You've got yourself a parasol.
Oh, yes, it's your mother. She said I should use it as a stick. I didn't have one with me.
Are they still down there, Father and the others?
Oh, yes, yes. Your father went into the restaurant for a moment. The others are sitting outside listening to the music, but your mother says they'll soon be coming up.
You're very tired now, aren't you?
Yes. Yes, I do feel just a little bit tired. I really think I'd better sit down.
There's going to be dancing down by the bandstand.
Yes, I heard someone mention it.
Don't you think it's great fun, dancing?
Oh, Hilda, let Mr. Lyngstrand get his breath.
Yes, Miss Hilda, I'd love to dance, if only I could.
Have you never learned?
No, but it's not that. I mean, I can't because of my chest.
Because of the weakness you said you had?
Yes, that's right.
Does it worry you, this weakness?
I can't say it does. I think it's because of that that everybody's so nice and friendly to me.
Yes. And of course, it's not serious.
Oh, no, it's not serious at all. Your father obviously thought that, too.
And it'll soon get better when you start travelling abroad.
That's right, yes.
Mr. Lyngstrand, this is for your buttonhole.
Oh. Oh, thank you, Miss Funnel. You really are ever so kind.
Oh, there they are, coming along by the path.
Oh, I hope they know where to turn off. Oh, no, they're going wrong.
Well, I'll run down to the turning and shout to them.
You'll have to shout jolly loud.
It's not worth it. You'll only tire yourself again.
Oh, it's so easy. Downhill.
Downhill, yes. Now he's jumping. He's forgotten he's got to come up again.
Poor man.
If Lyngstrand were to propose, would you have him?
Are you out of your mind?
Of course, I mean, if he hadn't got this weakness, if he wasn't going to die so soon, would you have him then?
I think it would be better if you had him.
Oh, I'm blowed if I would. He hasn't a bean. He hasn't even enough to live on himself.
Then why are you so taken up with him?
It's only because of his weakness.
You don't seem to feel very sorry for him.
No, I don't really. It just intrigues me.
What?
To look at him and make him say it isn't serious. That he's going abroad to be an artist. He believes it all. He's perfectly happy about it. Yet nothing will come of it. Absolutely nothing. Because he won't live long enough. Oh, it's terribly exciting.
Exciting?
Yes, I love it. It gives me a terrific thrill.
Really, Hilda, you are beastly.
That's just what I want to be, to spite you all. At last, Arnholm doesn't seem to like coming uphill. Oh, do you know what I noticed about Arnholm at dinner?
Well?
He's beginning to go bald. Here, on top.
Oh, nonsense. I'm sure it's not true.
He is. And he's got wrinkles under his eyes. Here. Goodness, Belletta, how could you have been so gone on him when he was your tutor?
Yes, I know. I remember weeping because he said he thought Belletta was an ugly name.
I say, just look down there. Look, the lady from the sea is walking with him, not with Father, and yapping away. I wonder if those two aren't a bit gone on each other.
You should be ashamed of yourself. You really should. Be good now, for Father's sake. Do you hear, Hilda?
It lies out there.
Oh, yes, you're right. Must be that way.
Out there lies the sea.
It's pretty up here, isn't it, Mr. Arnholm?
Magnificent. Splendid view.
Have you never been up here before?
Oh, no, never. I don't think you could get up in my time, not even the footpath.
No, not laid out either. We've done all this in the last few years.
Over there at Lodskell, and the view is even better.
Shall we go over there, perhaps, Alida?
Thank you. No, I won't, but you others go. I'll just sit here.
Then I'll stay with you. The girls can show Mr. Arnholm.
Would you like to come with us, Mr. Arnholm?
I should like to very much. Is there a path up there as well?
Oh, yes, a nice broad path.
It's so broad, two people can go arm in arm.
Is that so, little Miss Hilda? Well, shall we two see if she's right, Miss Belletta?
Yes, let's. Come along.
Shall we go too, Mr. Lyngstrand?
Arm in arm.
Why not? I don't mind.
Oh, this is such fun.
Fun?
Well, it looks just as if we were engaged.
Oh, it's quite obvious, Mr. Lyngstrand, that you've never given your arm to a lady before.
Well, Alida, my dear, we have a moment to ourselves.
Yes. Come here and sit by me.
It's so peaceful up here. Now, we must have a little talk.
Oh, what about?
You and our relationship. Alida, things can't go on like this. You were not made to be a man's second wife.
Why do you say that now?
I've often wondered, but it was obvious today. The children's little anniversary, you saw me as a sort of Accomplice. Well, yes. A man's memories can't be wiped out. Just like that. Not mine, anyway.
Oh, I know. I know that.
You feel almost as if the children's mother were still alive. You feel my heart is divided between you and her equally. That's what worries you. It's as if there was something immoral in our relationship. That's why you can't live with me as my wife.
You've seen all this, Fang.
I saw it all today. At last. Everything.
Everything?
I know there is more, Elida.
More?
You can't bear this place. The mountains hem you in and oppress you. There's not enough light for you here, not enough sky around you. The air is not fresh and strong enough.
Oh, you're right about that. Night and day, winter and summer, I'm longing for the open sea.
I know, dear. And so, our poor sick girl must go home again.
Oh, what do you mean?
Just what I say. We will move.
Move?
Someplace out there by the open sea.
But we can't do that. Well, you couldn't be happy anywhere but here.
I shall regain you, my dearest.
Oh, but you can't. You can't, Fargo. That's what's so agonizing.
We shall have to see. If you are as troubled as this, then the only solution is for you to go away. And the sooner, the better.
No, no.
That is absolutely definite, do you hear?
No, no, no. Oh. I'd better tell you everything just as it is.
Yes. I wish you would.
I'll tell you as well as I can, as far as I can understand. Come and sit by me.
Well, now, Elida.
That day when you came out and asked me to marry you, you spoke to me frankly about your first marriage. You said it had been very happy.
It was.
Oh, yes, I'm sure it was, my dear. That's not why I speak of it now. I only want to remind you that I, too, was frank with you. I told you quite openly that I had once cared for someone else, that there had been a sort of betrothal.
A sort of...
It was something like that. It was all over so soon. He went away and I broke it off. I told you.
Dear Alida, why bother with all this? It's nothing to do with me. I've never even asked his name.
No. You were always so kind to me.
Oh. I could guess the name.
Oh?
There weren't many to choose from out at Schuldvik. Or rather, there was only one.
You think it was Arnholm?
Well, wasn't it?
No.
Not him. Well, then I don't know.
Do you remember... late autumn, a big American ship putting into Schuldvik for repairs.
Oh, of course I remember. One morning they found the captain murdered in his cabin. I did the post-mortem.
Yes. Yes, of course you did.
The second mate murdered him.
No one can say that. No, it was never proved.
Oh, there's not much doubt about it all the same. Why did he go and drown himself?
He didn't drown himself. He went up north in another ship.
How do you know?
That was the man to whom I was betrothed.
What?
Yes, it was he.
But how on earth? Elida, how could you do such a thing? Go and get engaged to a complete stranger? Whatever was his name?
He called himself Freeman then. Afterwards, in letters, he signed himself Alfred Johnston.
Where did he come from?
From Finnmark, he said. He was born in Finland. His father had brought him to Norway when he was a small child, I think.
What else did you know about him?
Only that he went to sea when he was very young and that he had made... many long voyages.
Nothing else?
No. We didn't talk about things like that.
Then what did you talk about?
Mostly about the sea.
Ah. About the sea.
About storms and calms. Dark nights at sea. And the sea in glittering sunshine, too. But mostly we spoke of whales and dolphins and... seals that love to lie out on the rocks and bask in the sun.
And we spoke of mews and eagles and all the other seabirds. Oh, it's strange that I felt that all the birds and the beasts and he himself all belonged to each other and to the sea.
And you?
I felt that I, too, belonged to the sea.
Yes. Well, and that is how you came to be engaged to him.
He said I must.
Must? Had you no will of your own?
Not when he was with me. Oh, well, afterwards, I couldn't understand it at all.
Did you see him often?
Not very often. He came out to look over the lighthouse. That was how I first saw him. After that, we met now and then. But then came this with the captain. And so he had to go away.
I see. What happened?
It was very early, just before dawn. I had a note from him. He said I was to go to him at Brathammer, you know, the headland between the lighthouse and Shilvick.
I know.
Said I was to go to him at once. He wanted to speak to me.
And you went?
I couldn't help myself. Well, he told me that he had stabbed the captain in the night.
He actually said so?
But he said he had only done what was right and just. Well, he had to go away. But just before he said goodbye...
Well?
Out of his pocket, he took a key ring. And he drew from his finger a ring he always wore. From me, he took a little ring I had. These two he hung together on the key ring. And then he said that we two together should be wedded to the sea.
Wedded?
So he said. Then with all his strength, he threw the large ring with the two smaller ones as far as he could out into the deep sea.
And you agreed to this?
Yes, at the time it seemed to me completely right. And then, thank God, he went away.
And when he had gone?
Well, I came to my senses. I realized how stupid and meaningless the whole thing had been.
Have you heard from him since?
Yes, first a few lines from Archangel. He said he was going to America. He told me where to write.
Did you?
It was straight away. I wrote, of course, that everything was over between us, that he mustn't think of me anymore, just as I wouldn't think of him.
But he wrote again.
Yes, he wrote again.
And what did he reply to
you?
He
didn't mention it. It was as if I hadn't broken with him. He wrote kindly and calmly that I was to wait for him, that when he was ready, he would send for me. I was to go straight to him.
He wouldn't give you up?
No. So I wrote again, almost word for word as before, only more strongly.
And then he stopped writing?
Oh, no. Well, he wrote as calmly as before, without a word of my having broken with him. So then I saw that it was useless. And I never wrote to him again.
And you never heard from him either?
Yes, I've had three letters since then. The last was from Australia. He wrote that he was going to the gold mines. Since then, he hasn't written a word.
What an extraordinary power that man had over you, Alida.
Oh, he was terrifying.
You mustn't think about him any more, ever. Promise me that, my dearest, my precious. We'll try another cure for you. A fresher air than here in the fjord. Fresh, salty sea breezes. What do you say?
Oh, that won't help. I know I won't be able to shake it off out there either.
Well, dear, what do you mean now?
This fascination, this unfathomable power he has over my mind.
But you have shaken it off long since. That time when you broke with him. It's long since over.
No, it isn't. It isn't. I'm terrified that it'll never be over. Never.
Do you mean that you've never really been able to forget this strange man?
I had forgotten him. But then he seemed to come back.
When?
3 years ago, or a little more. It was when I was waiting for the child.
Oh. It was then, was it? Well, Alida, I begin to understand quite a lot of things.
Oh, you're wrong. What happened to me, it's beyond the power of anyone on earth to understand.
For 3 whole years, you have been in love with another man. Not me. another man.
You're so wrong. There's no one I love but you.
All this time, why have you refused to live with me as my wife?
Because I have been terrified.
Terrified?
Yes, terrified. The sort of terror that only the sea can give you. Oh, Vangel. Vangel, I must tell you.
What? Still here?
Yeah, it's so nice and cool up here on the hill.
We're going down to the dancing.
Good, good. We'll come soon.
Bye for the present.
Oh, Mr. Lyngstrand, just a moment. Are you going dancing as well?
Oh, no, Mrs. Vangel, I don't think I dare.
Yes, it's much better to be careful with your chest. You're not quite well yet, you know.
No, not quite.
How long is it since you went on that voyage?
When I got my weakness?
The voyage you were telling us about this morning.
Oh, it's about... Oh, wait a bit. Yes. It must have been 3 years ago.
3 years?
Or a bit more. We left America in February and we were wrecked in March. We ran into the equinoctial gales.
So it was then.
But, my dear...
Well, we won't keep you, Miss Stellingstrand. Go on down, but don't dance.
No, I'll just look on.
My dear Alida, why did you ask him about that voyage?
Johnston was on board with him.
What makes you think so?
He discovered that I had married someone else while he was away. And then, at that same moment, this came upon me.
You mean this terror?
Sometimes, without any warning, I can see him just as if he were alive. He's in front of me, or rather a little to one side. He no looks at me. He's just there.
What does he look like?
As I saw him last.
10 years ago?
Out at Brathammer. He has a scarf pin with a great bluish-white pearl, like a dead fish's eye. It seems to stare at me.
For God's sake, you're more ill than I thought. More ill than you know.
Oh, yes, help me if you can. It's closing in on me.
And you have been like this for 3 whole years? You've kept all this suffering to yourself and not told me.
But I couldn't not till now. But now when you say you'll go away from here, destroy your life. If I told you all of this then, I would have had to tell you. No, I can't say it.
Can't say it?
No, don't ask. Well, just one more thing, and then no more. How can we explain the mystery of the child's eyes?
My dear love, I promise you, it was your imagination. His eyes were perfectly normal.
No, they were not. Oh, you couldn't see it. The child's eyes changed with the sea. If the fjord was calm and sunny, his eyes were the same. But in storms, oh, I could see it, yes, even if you couldn't.
Well, even if it were true, suppose it was. What then?
I have seen eyes like that before.
Well?
Out at Brathammer, 10 years ago.
What does this...
The child had the strange man's eyes.
Alida!
Now do you see why I never can, never dare, live with you as your wife?
Alida! Alida! Oh, my poor... unhappy Alida.
Keep still. There's a big fish.
Where?
Can't you see? There. Look. Lordy me, there's another. Oh, now he'll come and scare them away.
Who's coming?
Your tutor, ma'am.
Mine?
Yes, thank heavens he was never mine.
Oh. Are there fish in the pond now?
Yes, some very old carp.
Oh, are they still there?
Yes, and they're jolly tough. But we're going to get rid of some of them.
You'd do better out in the fjord.
Oh, no. The pond is... Oh, it's more mysterious.
It's much more thrilling here. Have you been swimming?
Precisely. I've just come from the bathing hut.
I bet you kept near in.
Well, yes, I'm not much of a swimmer.
Can you swim on your back?
No.
I can. Let's try over there, Mr. Lyngstrand.
Oh, all right, if you think so.
All by yourself, Berletta?
Oh, I usually am.
Isn't your mother in the garden?
No, she's probably gone for a walk with Father.
How is she this afternoon?
I don't know, really. I forgot to ask.
Oh, what are the books?
Oh, one's about botany and the other's geography.
Hmm, you like reading this sort of thing?
When I can find time, with all the housekeeping.
Oh, but doesn't your mother, your stepmother, doesn't she help you?
No, it's my job. When Father was alone for 2 years, I had to do it, and I've done it ever since.
But you're as fond of reading as you used to be.
I read every useful book I can find. One wants to know something about the world. We're completely cut off here.
Oh, don't say that, my dear Berletta.
I do say it. I don't see much difference between the way we live and those carp down there in the pond. The fjord is so near, with great shoals of sea fish. But the poor old carp, it's not for them.
Well, they wouldn't be very happy if they could get into the fjord.
They would have to take their chance of that.
Oh, you know, you're not really so cut off here. Not in summer, anyway. It seems as if people are always passing through. It's a kind of meeting place.
You're only passing through yourself. You can afford to laugh.
Am I laughing?
All that about a meeting place for everybody. You heard it in the town. They're always talking like that.
Oh, yes, you're right. I've noticed.
But it's not really true. Not for us who have to live here all the time. What's it to us if the great outside world passes through here on its way to see the midnight sun? We are not part of it. We shan't see the midnight sun. Oh, no. We just have to be content and go on living in our carp pond.
Tell me now, my dear Berletta, is there anything, any particular thing, I mean, that you long for?
Well, yes, perhaps.
Oh, what can it be? What is it?
To get away.
Above all?
And after that, to learn. To really learn about everything.
Hmm. When I was teaching you, your father often said he'd let you go to university.
Oh, yes, poor father. He says so many things, but when it comes to the point, he never does anything.
Well, maybe you're right. Maybe he lacks initiative a little. But have you ever talked to him about it?
No, I haven't.
Oh, well, you ought to before it's too late, Berletta. Why don't you?
Oh, because I haven't much initiative either, I suppose.
I wonder whether you aren't being unfair to yourself.
Unfortunately not. And anyway, Father has no time to think of me or my future. He doesn't really want to either. He would much rather ignore things like that. He's so taken up with Elida.
What? With who?
I mean, he and my stepmother, father and mother, don't need us, you see.
Oh, then it's all the more important that you should get away.
I don't think I have any right to leave Father.
Oh, come now, my dear Berletta, you'll have to go sometime.
I suppose you're right. I must think of myself. Try and get a job or something. When Father dies, I shall have no one. But poor Father, I should hate to leave him.
Hate?
For his sake.
But good Lord, what about your stepmother? She'll stay here with him.
Yes, but she doesn't seem to be able to do all the things that Mother did so well. There's so much that she doesn't see, or maybe doesn't want to see, or can't be bothered with. I don't know. But it's not fair that I should have to stay here, is it? I'm no use to Father, really, and I think I have a duty towards myself.
You know, my dear Berletta, it all depends on you yourself.
Do you think so?
Yes. It's up to you.
Oh, if only it were true. Would you perhaps put in a good word for me with Father?
Yes, that as well. But first, I want to talk to you, Berletta. Frankly and seriously. Here comes Mrs. Wangel. Don't let her see anything. We'll talk about this again.
It's so nice here. Delightful.
Have you been for a walk?
Yes, a long, long, marvellous walk with Wangel. Now we're going sailing.
Won't you sit down?
No, I won't sit.
Yeah, this walk's done you good. You look exhilarated.
Oh, yes, I feel so wonderfully well and happy. So secure. What's that big steamer?
It must be the big English boat.
Oh, look, it's tying up at the pier. Does it usually call here?
Oh, only for about half an hour. It's going on up the fjord.
And tomorrow out again. Out into the great open sea. Far over the sea. Oh, I wish I could go with her. If only I could.
We have to be satisfied with dry land.
Well, at least that's where we belong.
I don't think so.
No,
I think if only people had been used from the beginning to live by the sea. In the sea, perhaps. We should all be so much better than we are. And happier.
Dear Mrs. Wangel, I haven't noticed that people are so very sad. They, most of them, take life lightly and calmly, with a quiet, unconscious happiness.
No, it's not like that. That sort of happiness, that's the way we feel in the long, light summer days. But there's a foreboding of darkness to come. And it's the foreboding that darkens our happiness.
You shouldn't think about such things. A moment ago, you were so happy.
Yes. Yes, I was. All this, it's so stupid of me. If only Wangel would come. He promised me faithfully that he would, but he doesn't come. He's forgotten. Oh, dear Mr. Arnold, please will you see if you can find him for me?
With pleasure.
Tell him he must come at once. I can't see him.
Can't see him?
No, when he isn't here, I sometimes can't remember what he looks like. It's as if I'd lost him. It's terrible. Please go.
I'll come with you, Mr. Arnholm. You can't be sure.
No, no, no. I shall easily...
No. I'm worried. I'm afraid that he's on the steamer.
Afraid?
Yes. He usually goes on board to see if there's anyone he knows. And there's a saloon on board.
Oh, yes. Oh, come along then.
Oh, I must see him. But I can't remember what he looks like.
Good evening, Alida.
Oh, dearest, at last.
At last.
Who are you? Are you looking for someone?
You know I am, Alida.
Why do you call me that? Who are you looking for?
You know that I'm looking for you.
Oh! The eyes.
Are you beginning to recognize me now? I knew you at once, Alida.
Don't look at me like that. I shall call for help.
Shh. Don't be afraid. I shan't harm you.
Don't look at me like that.
I came with the English boat.
What do you want with me?
I promised you I would come back as soon as I could.
Oh, go away. Don't come here. I wrote to you that everything was over between us. Absolutely. You know I did.
Yes, I know.
And still you come to fetch me?
Of course.
Oh.
Don't you want to come?
Don't look at me like that.
I'm asking you if you want to come.
No. I don't want to. I can't. I daren't.
All right, then, Alida. Let me just say one thing before I go.
Oh, don't touch me. Don't come near me. No nearer. Oh, don't touch me, I say.
You mustn't be afraid of me, Alida.
Don't look at me like that.
Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid.
Well, I've kept you waiting a long time, haven't
I? Oh, Wangel. Save me. Save me if you can.
Alida, for God's sake.
Save me, Wangel. He's there.
That man? Might I ask who you are? What you are doing in this garden?
I want to talk to Alida.
What do you want with my wife? Do you know him, Alida?
Oh, yes. It's he.
What? Are you that man, that Johnston?
Well, you can call me Johnston. It's not my name.
What do you want with my wife? You must know that the lighthouse keeper's daughter has long since been married, and you must know who she married.
I've known for over 3 years.
How did you find out?
I was on my way home to you. I saw an old newspaper, and in it was the news of your wedding.
So it was that.
And it seemed very strange to me. For the rings. That was a wedding, too, Alida.
Oh.
How dare you?
Had you forgotten?
Don't look at me like that.
Kindly address yourself to me, not to her. Now, you understand the situation. What do you want here? Why did you come looking for my wife? You had her letters.
Alida and I both agreed that what we did with the rings should have the strength and authority of a marriage.
You must be mad. Do you think you can come here and base a claim on such infantile nonsense?
In the way you mean, I have no right.
Then what do you propose to do? You surely don't think you can take her away from me by force, against her will?
No. What would be the good of that? If Alida comes with me, she must come of her own free will.
Free will?
You must be out of your senses. Clear off. We'll have nothing more to do with you.
It's nearly time for me to go on board again. Well, Alida, I've done what I had to do. I've kept the promise I gave you.
Don't touch me.
You must think it over until tomorrow night.
There is nothing to think over. Get out.
Now I'm going up the fjord with the steamer. I'll come again tomorrow. You must wait for me here in the garden. I'd rather settle this with you alone.
You help me. Save me, Varma.
Think carefully, Alida. If you don't come with me tomorrow, then it'll be all over.
All over?
I shall never come to this country again. You will never see me again or hear from me. I shall be as if dead. So think carefully. Goodbye. Be ready tomorrow night. I shall come and fetch you.
Free will. He said I should go to him of my own free will.
Just keep calm. He has gone now, and you will never see him again.
When he has been here tomorrow, and then when he goes away on the steamer.
Yes?
I wonder, will he never, never come back?
No, dear Alida. You can be sure of that. Why should he come back? He will have heard from your own mouth that you won't go with him. That will be the finish.
Tomorrow, then. Or never.
And even if he came back.
What?
We know how to make him harmless.
Oh, don't think that.
I say we can. If you can't get free of him any other way, he will have to answer for the murder of the captain.
No, never. We know nothing about the murder, nothing.
Nothing? He confessed to you himself.
If you say anything, I shall deny it. You shall not imprison him. He belongs out there, with the open sea. He belongs out there.
Oh, Elida. Elida.
Oh, my love. My faithful. Save me from that man.
Come. Come with me.
I say, Mrs. Vangel.
What is it?
We've seen the American.
The American?
I saw him too.
He went round the back of the garden and then on board the English steamer.
How do you know that man?
I was at sea with him. I thought he was drowned, but he's here, as large as life.
Do you know anything else about him?
No, but he must have come to revenge himself on his faithless wife.
What?
Lingstrand's going to make a statue of him.
I don't understand a word.
I'll tell you later.
Come and look. The English boat is going up the fjord.
Tonight he will come to her.
Come to the faithless wife. Oh, yes.
Imagine, about midnight.
Oh, it'll be so thrilling.
Tomorrow, then.
And then, never again.
Oh, Vangel. Save me from myself.
Elida.
That man is like the sea.
It must be ever so difficult to embroider like you do, Miss Vangel.
Oh, no, not very. You just have to count right.
Count? Do you have to count as well?
Yes, the stitches.
Fancy that. It's almost art. Can you draw, too?
If I have something to copy.
Not without?
No, not without. Oh,
so it's not really art, after all.
No, it's just a knack.
But you know, I think you could learn to be an artist.
When I have no talent?
If you could be with a real artist all the time.
Oh, you think I could learn from him?
Oh, I don't mean learn in the ordinary way. I think it would come bit by bit. Like a sort of miracle, Miss Vangel.
How odd.
Have you thought seriously about marriage, Miss Vangel?
About... No.
I have.
Have you?
Oh, yes, I often think about things like that. Especially marriage. I've read a lot of books about it, too. You see, I think marriage should be a sort of miracle. The way a woman gradually changes until she's like her husband.
Acquire his interests, you mean?
Yes, that's it.
But what about his talents, his skill?
Yes, I wonder if all those things, too, couldn't be.
So you think also that anything a man has read or worked out for himself, this could come to his wife as well?
Yes, little, by a sort of miracle. Of course, I know it could only happen in a really true and happy marriage.
Has it never struck you that perhaps the husband might be influenced by his wife, become like her?
A man? No, I never thought that.
Why not?
Oh, well, a man has a calling. That's what makes a man so strong, Miss Wangle. He has a vocation.
All of them?
Oh, no, I'm only really thinking of artists.
Do you think an artist should marry?
Yes, I think so, if he can find someone he really loves.
Even so, I think he ought to live for his art alone.
Well, of course, but he can do that just as well if he's married.
But what about her?
Her?
The woman he marries. What is she to live for?
Well, she must live for his art, too. I mean, for a woman, that must be such happiness.
I'm not so sure.
Oh, yes, it's true, Miss Wangle. It's not just the honour and glory she'll get through him, that's the least important, but to help him create. Be around him, tending him, pleasing him, making him feel really comfortable. I think that must be really wonderful for a woman.
Oh, you don't know how selfish you are.
Selfish? Me? If only you knew me better. Miss Funnel, when I'm gone, it won't be long now.
Oh, you mustn't be so sad about it.
Well, I don't think it's sad.
How do you mean?
Well, I shall be leaving in a month's time, and then later I shall be going south.
Oh, I see, yes.
Will you think of me sometimes, Miss Wangle?
Of course I will.
Do you promise?
I promise.
On your honour?
On my honour. But what's the use?
Oh, how can you say that? It'll be wonderful for me to know that you're here thinking of me.
Yes, but what else?
Oh, well, I don't really know.
Nor do I. So much stands in the way. I think everything in the world stands in the way.
Oh, there might well be another miracle or something. You see, I'm sure luck's going my way now.
Yes, it's true. You do think so.
Oh, I'm sure of it. So when I come home in a few years, a famous sculptor, healthy and wealthy...
Oh, yes, of course. We hope you will.
Oh, it's absolutely certain. If you will think of me warmly and faithfully while I'm in the South. And now I have your word that you will.
Yes, you have. But it will come to nothing.
But, Miss Perletta, I shall be able to work at my art much more easily.
You think so?
Oh, yes, I feel it. And then I think it'll be so stimulating for you, too. I mean, here in this out-of-the-way place. For you to know that you are, in a way, helping me to create.
Well, and what about you?
Me?
Shh. Let's talk about something else. Mr. Arnholm's in the garden. He'll be coming in here.
Are you fond of your old tutor, Miss Perletta?
Fond of him?
I mean, do you like him?
Oh, yes, I do. He's a wonderful person to have as a friend. He's always so helpful.
It's funny that he hasn't married.
Funny?
Yes, I say he's well off.
I suppose he is. But perhaps it wasn't easy for him to find someone who would have him.
Why not?
Oh, he's taught nearly all the girls he knows. He says so himself.
Well, what difference does that make?
Oh, good gracious. One doesn't marry a man who's been one's teacher.
Don't you think a girl could love her teacher?
Not when she's grown up.
Oh, that's funny.
Shh. He's coming in.
Good morning, Perletta, my dear.
Good morning, Mr. Arnholm.
Good morning, Mr. How is everything today?
Well, thank you.
Your stepmother, is she bathing again?
No, she's up in her room.
Oh, not very well.
I don't know. She's locked herself in.
Has she?
Mrs. Wangle was very upset about that American yesterday.
Now, what do you know about him?
Well, I told Mrs. Wangle I'd seen him near her garden.
Oh, indeed.
You and Father sat up very late last night.
Yes, rather late. We began talking about something very important.
Did you manage to say something about me?
No, my dear Perletta. He had his mind on something else.
He always has.
But later on today, we'll talk more about it. Now, where is your father?
He must be down in the surgery. I'll go and fetch
him. No. Don't do that. I'll go.
Oh, just a minute, Mr. Arnholm. I think I hear Father coming down the stairs. Yes. He must have been up, seeing to her.
Ah, my dear fellow. You're all ready. Good of you to come so early.
I want to talk to you again.
Shall we go into the garden and find Hilda, Mr. Lyngstrand?
Oh, I'd like to very much, Miss Bangle.
Do you know anything about that young man?
No, nothing.
Oh. Then do you like him to be so much with the girls?
Is he? I hadn't noticed.
Well, you ought to keep an eye on such things, I think.
I'm sure you're right, but good Lord, what's a poor fellow to do? The girls have got so used to looking after themselves, they won't listen to me or Alida.
Not to her either?
No, besides, I can't expect her to get mixed up in it. It's not her kind of thing. But that's not what I wanted to talk about. Tell me, have you thought any more about what I told you last night?
I've thought of nothing else since I left you.
What is to be done?
My dear fellow, I really think that you as a doctor must know better than I.
Oh, you don't know how difficult it is to be objective about a patient you love so dearly. And it isn't an ordinary illness. Ordinary medicine won't help. Nor will an ordinary doctor.
How is she today?
I was up with her just now. She seemed calm, but behind it all, there is something I can't pin down. She's so changeable. She's not in control of herself.
Well, that fits in with her morbid state of mind.
No, it's not just that. It was born into her. The trouble is, she is one of the sea people.
What do you mean?
Haven't you noticed that people who live out there by the open sea are different? They seem to live in the same rhythm as the sea. They seem to surge and ebb and flow. And they can't survive being taken away. I should have thought of it before. It was a positive sin to bring her here.
Well, you feel like that now?
More and more. I ought to have known before. Oh, deep down I did know, but I wouldn't face it, you see. I loved her so. I've been selfish. Unforgivably selfish.
Well, all men are a little selfish in such circumstances. I haven't really noticed the vice in you, Dr.
Oh, Arnold. Yes, and I haven't stopped being selfish either. I'm so much older than she. I should have been a father to her, a guide. I ought to have done my best to develop her mind, to make her think clearly. But unfortunately, I did nothing of the kind. I just didn't have the energy. I wanted her to stay as she was. But alas, it got worse and worse with her. That is why I wrote to you and asked you to come to us.
What? Is that why you wrote?
Yes, but don't repeat it.
Oh, my dear Dr. Wanger, what on earth... Oh, what good did you think I could do?
Oh, I got quite the wrong idea. I thought Alida had once been fond of you, and that she still cared for you. I thought it might do her good to talk with you again about her home and the old days.
So it was your wife you meant when you wrote that someone was waiting for me here, perhaps longing for me.
Who else?
No, you're quite right. But I didn't understand.
Oh. Of course not. As I said, I was wrong.
And you say you're selfish.
I had a great injury to redeem. I felt I dare not ignore anything that might help her.
Yes. Well, can you at least explain the power which this strange man has over her?
There are certain states of the mind which cannot yet be explained.
Well, something inexplicable, you mean? Absolutely inexplicable?
For the time being, yes.
Well, do you believe in such things?
I don't know what to believe or disbelieve. I just don't know. So I let it go at that.
Yes. Oh, but tell me one thing. This extraordinary notion of hers about the child's eyes...
I don't believe that about the eyes. I won't believe any such thing. It's her imagination. Nothing else.
Did you notice the man's eyes yesterday?
Certainly I did.
And you saw no likeness?
Oh... Good God, what shall I say? It was getting dark. Besides, Alida has talked so much about it. I don't know that it's possible for me to see that man objectively.
Ah, no. Yes, that could be. But then what about all this fear, this unrest coming over her just as this man started on his way home?
Yes, but look, she talked herself into that since the day before yesterday. It didn't come over her nearly so quickly, all at once, as she now says. But since she heard from young Linkstrand that this Johnson or Freeman or whatever he calls himself, that he was on his way here some 3 years ago in the month of March, she has persuaded herself that her neurosis started in the same month.
And it did not?
No, indeed not. There were symptoms of it long before that. It is true that she did have, by chance, in March, 3 years ago, a pretty severe attack.
Oh, well then.
Yes, but that's easily explained by the circumstances, the condition she was in at the time.
Ah. Hmm. There's no definite proof either way.
Not to be able to help her. Not to know what to do. To see no way out.
Well, supposing you could bring yourself to move away from here.
Oh, my dear friend, do you think I haven't offered to do so? I suggested we should move out to Schulwick, but she won't. Yes, and besides, thinking it over, I don't really see how I could. It wouldn't be fair to the girls to move to such a remote place. After all, they must live where they have at least a chance of finding a husband.
A husband? Are you thinking of that already?
Yes, good heavens, I must think of it. But then, my poor, sick Elida. Oh, my dear Arnholm. I really do seem to be between the devil and the deep blue sea.
Well, perhaps you have no need to worry about Berletta. I wonder where they've gone.
I'd so gladly make any sacrifice, if only I knew what. Elida, my dear.
You mustn't go out this morning.
No, of course not. I'll stay at home with you. But you haven't said good morning to our friend.
Oh, well, it's you, Mr. Arnholm. Good morning.
Good morning, Mrs. Vangel. So you've not been bathing today?
No, I couldn't today. Well, won't you sit down a moment?
Oh, no, thank you so much, not now. I promised the girls I'd join them in the garden.
Oh, heaven knows if you'll find them. I never know where they are.
Oh, they're sure to be somewhere near the pond.
I shall track them down.
What time is it, Vangel?
Just past 11.
Just past. And at 11 tonight, or half past, the boat will come. Oh, if only it were over.
Dear Elida, there is one thing I want to ask you.
What on earth is that?
The day before yesterday, up at the Prospect, you said during the last 3 years you had often seen him before you as if he were alive.
Yes, I have. You must believe me.
Yes, but what did he look like?
Oh, what did he look like?
I mean, what did he look like when you thought you saw him?
No, but my dear Vangel, you saw him yourself.
And the image you had of him was exactly the same?
Yes, it was.
Exactly as you saw him last night in reality?
Yes, exactly.
Then how was it that you did not recognize him at once?
Didn't I?
You said afterwards that at first you didn't know who he was.
Oh. I think you're right. Well, that's strange, isn't it, Vangel? My not knowing him at once.
It was only his eyes, you said.
Oh, yes. His eyes.
Well, but up at the Prospect, you said he always appeared to you exactly as he was when you parted 10 years ago.
Did I say that?
Yes.
Well, I suppose he must have looked then as he does now.
No. On our way home the night before last, you described him quite differently. 10 years ago, he had no beard and different clothes. And then the scarf pin with the pearl. He had nothing like that last night.
No, he hadn't.
Just think a little harder, dear Elida. Perhaps you can't remember how he looked when he was with you out at Brathammer. Oh,
not very clearly, not today. That's strange, isn't it?
Not so very strange. You have a new and real picture of him now, and that blurs the old one.
Do you think so, Vargas?
Yes, and it blurs your morbid imaginings as well. It's a good thing that the reality has come.
Good? You call it good?
It may be your salvation.
Oh, Vargas. Come and sit here by me. I must tell you what I'm thinking.
please. Do.
It was a real misfortune for both of us that we two ever met.
What do you say?
Oh, yes. It could lead to nothing but unhappiness after the way we came together.
What was wrong with the way we...
It's no use lying to ourselves and to each other.
Are we lying?
Yes, we are. Oh, we're evading the truth. The truth is, the real, unvarnished truth, that you came out there and bought me.
Bought? Did you say bought?
Oh, I was no better than you. I sold myself.
Elida, how can you call it that?
What else is it? You couldn't bear the emptiness of your house, so you looked round for a new wife.
And a new mother for the children.
Well, maybe that, too. Though you hadn't the least idea if I was capable of it. You'd only seen me a couple of times. And then you wanted me, and so...
Well, you can call it that if you like.
I was helpless, absolutely alone. What more natural than to agree when you offered to support me for life?
It didn't seem like that to me, Elida. I asked you honestly if you could share with me and the children the little I could call mine.
Yes, you did, but I should never have accepted, never at any price, not sold myself. Better to have done the meanest work, to have been poor, but of my own free will, by my own choice.
Have the 5 or 6 years that we've lived together been so worthless?
Oh, it's not that, Fangel. You've given me everything anyone could possibly want. But I didn't come to you of my own free will.
Not of your own free will?
No, not of my own free will.
Oh, I remember. That phrase from yesterday.
Everything is in that phrase. It's explained everything. I understand now.
What do you understand?
That the life we live together isn't really a marriage.
That is true. The life we live now is no marriage.
It never has been, not even at the beginning. No. The first, that could have been a real, true marriage.
The first? What first?
Mine with him.
I don't understand you at all.
Oh, Vangel, don't let's lie to each other and to ourselves.
I agree, but what
You
then?
Know that a promise freely given is just as binding as a marriage.
But what...
Vangel, let me leave you.
Elida.
Yes, yes, let me. Believe me, it's bound to happen after the way we came together.
So, it has come to this.
It had to come.
So then, I have never won you, even in our daily life together. You have never, never really been mine.
I wanted to love you. You deserve to be loved. But I feel it'll never be.
A divorce? A formal legal divorce? Is that what you want?
But you don't understand. I don't care about formalities. Externals mean nothing. What I want is that we two should freely and willingly agree to release each other.
Cancel the bargain.
That's it. Cancel the bargain.
And then, afterwards, what would it be like for us? For you and me.
But that doesn't matter. What's to come must take care of itself. What I am asking you, begging you, Vangel, that's what's vital. Let me go. Listen, give me my freedom again.
Elida, you are asking a terrible thing. Let me at least have time to collect myself before I make up my mind. Let us talk more about it. You must take time to think. What you're asking.
But there is no time. I must be free today.
Why today?
Tonight he is coming.
What has this man to do with
it? I want to be free when I see him.
What?
I won't shield myself by saying I'm another man's wife. By saying I have no choice. Because then there'd be no real decision.
You talk about choice. Choice, Elida. Choice in such a matter.
Yes, choice. Whether to let him go alone... Or whether to go with him.
You know what you're saying. Go with him.
put your whole future in his hands.
Oh, didn't I put my whole future in your hands? I didn't even think twice.
Maybe, but him. You hardly know anything about him.
Well, I knew even less about you, but still I went with you.
At least you knew the kind of life to expect. But now, think. What do you know about him?
Oh.
Nothing. Not even who he is or what he is.
Yes. That's just what's so terrible.
Yes. It is terrible.
That's why I have to face it.
Just because it is so terrible.
Just because of that.
Elida, what exactly do you mean by terrible?
Something that I'm afraid of, but which fascinates me.
Fascinates?
Mostly fascinates, I think.
I have never really known you.
But that's just why you must set me free. I'm not what you thought. Will you see that now?
Just let's try to get through today. I dare not let you go today for your own sake, Elida. I've a right and a duty to protect you.
Protect? Against what? There's no outward force or violence that threatens me. It's a fascination in my mind. What can you do against that?
I can help you to fight against it.
Yes, if I want to fight.
You won't?
I don't know.
Tonight, everything will be decided, dear Elida.
Decide so soon. Decide for my whole life.
And tomorrow?
Tomorrow? Well, perhaps by then I shall have thrown away my future.
Elida, do you love him?
Oh, how can I tell? All I know is that I feel I belong to him.
I'm beginning to understand.
Then what help have you against it? What advice?
Tomorrow he will have gone. You will be safe from disaster. I am willing to release you then and let you go.
But, Farnwell, tomorrow will be too late.
The children, let's at least spare them this for the present.
Come in, all of you, and tell them. We've been making great plans.
We want to go out on the fjord tonight.
No, don't tell.
We've been making plans, too.
Oh?
Tomorrow, Elida is going out to Skjoldvik for a while.
Going?
That's very sensible, Mrs. Varnor.
Elida wants to go home again. To the sea.
You're going? Are you leaving us?
Why, Hilda, what's the matter?
Oh, nothing. Go if you want.
Father, I can tell. You are going to Skjoldvik as well.
No, not me. Perhaps I shall go out there now and again.
And then home to us?
That as well.
Now and again.
Dear child, it has to be.
We'll talk about it later, Perletta.
Can I have a word with you, Dr. Vangel?
Indeed you can.
Perletta, what's the matter with Hilda? She seemed hysterical.
Haven't you noticed what Hilda's been longing for day after day?
Longing for?
Ever since you came into the house.
No, what?
One single loving word from you.
There were work for me here.
Father, dear, lunch is ready. If you...
Is it, child? Good. Come along, Mr. Arnholm. Let's go and drink a farewell toast to the lady from the sea. But, my dear Elida, I assure you there's plenty of time.
No, there isn't. He may come any moment.
Why, good evening, Doctor. Good evening, Mrs. Varnell.
Is it you, Ballasted? Music again tonight?
Yes, the woodwind ensemble wants to show what it can do. We've always an excuse for festivity in our days. Tonight it's in honor of the English boat.
Is it in sight already?
Not yet. But you know how it comes silently down in between the islands. Before you know where you are, it's here.
Yes.
It's the last trip tonight. Then it won't come any more.
A melancholy thought, Doctor. and all the more reason to do the honors. Oh, yes, yes. Now the joyful summer's at an end, soon all the waters will be locked in winter, as they say in the tragedy.
The waters will be locked.
Sad reflection. All these months we've been merry summer children. It's not easy to get used to the time of darkness. Well, anyway, at first. But people can get acclimatized, Mrs. Varnell. Yes, indeed they can. Indeed they can.
Oh, it's torture. This intolerable last half hour before I decide.
You're still determined to talk to him yourself?
I must talk to him myself. I must be free to choose.
You have no choice, Elida. You have no right to choose. I will not allow you.
You can't stop me choosing. Neither you nor anyone else. You can forbid me to go with him if I should choose that. You can keep me here by force, against my will. You can do that. But the act of choosing. Choosing him and not you if I should want to. You can't stop that.
No. You're right. I can't stop that.
And I have nothing here to help me fight against it. Here at home, nothing binds me. I have no roots in your house, Vangel. The children aren't mine, their hearts, but I've never won them. When I go, if I go with him tonight, I haven't a key to give up or a single instruction to leave behind about anything whatsoever. I've no roots in your house. I've been outside everything from the very beginning.
That was how you wanted it.
No, I didn't. I simply left things as I found them the first day I came here. But it was you who wanted it like that, no one else.
I was trying to do what was best for you.
Yes, I know, Vangel. But now comes the reckoning. Nothing binds me here. Nothing strengthens and sustains me. But we share nothing that can hold me back.
I see that now. From tomorrow, you shall be free. After that, you can lead your own life.
You call that my own life? My own real life went wrong when I came together with you. And now, tonight, in half an hour, the man I failed is coming back. I should have stayed true to him as he stayed true to me. He's coming back for the last time. To ask me to start my life again, my own real life. The life that I'm so afraid of, but which fascinates me. I just can't let that go.
That's why you must allow me, as your husband and your doctor, to make the choice for you and act on your behalf.
No, Varnell, I understand very well. Believe me, there are times when I feel it would be so easy, such peace to let you shield me and try to forget all this that tempts me. But I can't. No, I can't.
Come, Elida. Let's walk a little.
No. He said I must wait for him here.
You have plenty of time.
Well, you're sure?
Ample time.
Well, then, for a little. Look, Father.
Shh, Violetta. Let them go.
What's been going on between those two the last few days?
Have you noticed anything?
Oh, yes. This and that. Haven't you?
Oh, I don't quite know.
Oh, yes, you have. Only you won't say so.
I think it'll do your stepmother good to go on this little trip.
You think so?
Oh, won't it be better for everyone if she does get away now and then?
If she goes home to Shaldvik tomorrow, she will never come back here again to us.
My dear Violetta, what makes you say that?
I'm sure. You wait and see. She won't come back. Anyway, not as long as I and Hilda are in the house.
Hilda as well?
Well, it might work with Hilda. She's hardly more than a child still. And underneath, I know she worships Elida. But with me, it's quite different. A stepmother who's not so much older.
My dear Violetta, it mightn't be so very long before you get away.
Really? Have you spoken to Father?
Oh, yes, I've done that as well.
Well, what did he say?
Well, your father's got a great deal on his mind these days.
What did I tell you?
But I did get this much out of him. You can't reckon on any help from him?
No.
No, he explained his financial position to me. Help from him in that way is out of the question.
Oh, how can you bear to have led me on so?
But I wasn't leading you on. If you want to get away, it depends entirely on you yourself.
What depends on me?
Whether you go out into the world, learn all you want, take part in the things you long for, live in less difficult surroundings. What do you say, Burletta?
Oh, good God. But it's not possible. If Father won't or can't, then there's no one else I can turn to.
Couldn't you let yourself accept a helping hand from your old, your former teacher?
You, Mr. Arnholm? Would you really?
Stand by you? I'd like to very much. In every way. Will you accept? Yes? Do you agree?
Do I agree? To get away. To see the world. To learn something worth learning. Everything that's been for me a wonderful impossibility.
Well, it can all happen, if you want.
And you will help me to find this exquisite happiness. Oh. Oh. Do you think it's all right for me to accept such a thing from a stranger?
Well, you can accept it from me, Burletta. You can accept anything from me.
Oh, yes, I think I can. I don't know why, but... Oh, I could laugh and cry for sheer joy. I'm so happy. Mm-hmm. Oh, after all, I'm going to really live. I began to be afraid that life would pass me by.
Well, you've no need to worry now, dear Burletta. Hmm. But tell me, frankly, is there anything to keep you here?
To keep me? No.
Nothing at all?
No. There's Father, in a way, and Hilda,
oh, well,
but...
you'll have to leave your father sooner or later, and Hilda will go her own way in life sometime. But otherwise, nothing keeps you here, Burletta? No other kind of relationship?
No, nothing. As far as that goes, I could leave here at any time.
Well, then, my dear Burletta, you shall come away with me.
Oh, heaven, how wonderful!
I hope you trust me.
Oh, yes, I really do.
And you are ready to put yourself and your future into my hands, Burletta? Yes, are you?
Oh, yes, why not? You were my old tutor. My tutor in the old days, I mean.
But not just because of that, but... as you're free, Burletta, not tied at all, and so... I'm asking you if you could... Tie yourself to me for life?
Oh! What do you say?
Burletta, will you be my wife?
Oh, no. No, no. It's impossible. Absolutely impossible.
Would it really be so impossible for you
to... You can't mean what you're saying, Mr. Arnholm. Oh, yes. Was that what you meant? When you offered to do so much for me.
You must listen to me for a moment, Burletta. I'm afraid I've startled you.
Such a thing from you. How could it? But
perhaps, of course, you didn't know. It was because of you I came here.
You came here for my sake?
Yes, Burletta. Last spring, I had a letter from your father, and in it he wrote something that led me to believe that... Well, that you kept your former tutor in a little more than friendly remembrance.
How could Father write such a thing?
Oh, no. I misunderstood him. That wasn't what he meant. But I began to get used to the idea that there was a young girl here longing for me to come back.
Oh!
No, you don't interrupt me, my dear Burletta. And, you see, when a man like me, no longer quite so young, believes or imagines a thing like that, it makes a very deep impression. I began to feel so grateful, so full of affection. I felt I had to come to you, to see you again, and to tell you that I shared the feeling I imagined you had for me.
But now you know it wasn't so. It was a mistake.
It doesn't make any difference, Burletta. My image of you has been formed, has been coloured by this mistake. Or perhaps you don't understand, but that's how it is.
I never dreamt that anything like this could happen.
Now that you know that it is possible, what do you say, Burletta? Oh, couldn't you, yes, couldn't you be my wife?
Oh, but I feel it's quite impossible, Mr. Arnholm. You are my old tutor. I can't imagine you as anything else.
Yes. Ah, well. Well, if you really feel you cannot, then our relationship remains unaltered, dear Beretta.
How do you mean?
Well, of course, I shall keep my promise. I'll make sure you get out into the world and do what you want to do, and see that you're safe and independent. I shall provide for your future as well, Beretta. Oh, I'll be your friend always, I promise you.
Oh, God. Mr. Arnholm, all that is quite impossible now.
Was that impossible to you?
Surely you can see, after what you've said and after my answer. Oh, you must understand yourself that I can't possibly accept so much from you. I can't accept anything from you. Not after this.
But you prefer to stay here at home and let life pass you by?
Oh, it's awful to think of it.
Are you going to turn your back on the outside world? Renounce your chance of taking part in what you yourself admit you long for? To know that there's so infinitely much, and never really know anything about it. Think hard, Beretta.
Yes. Yes, you're so right, Mr. Arnholm.
And then one day, when your father's no longer here, perhaps you'll be left helpless and alone. Or perhaps you'll even give yourself to another man, for whom possibly you'll feel no affection either.
Oh, yes. I see it's very true, everything you say. But all the same, perhaps...
Well?
Perhaps not quite impossible.
What?
Perhaps it could be if I agreed to what you suggested.
You mean you would be willing to... that at least you'll allow me the happiness of helping you as a friend?
Oh, no, not that. That would be impossible now. No, Mr. Arnholm, that you should take me.
Beretta, you will?
Yes, I think I will.
You will be my wife?
Yes. If you really think that you want me.
If I really... Oh, thank you. Thank you, Beretta. Everything else you said, your doubts, they don't worry me. If I've not won your heart yet, I shall know how to win it. Oh, Beretta, I'll carry you in my very hands.
And I am to see the world, to live. You promised me that.
And I'll keep to it.
And I can learn whatever I want.
Yes, I'll be your tutor, as I used to be, Beretta. Oh, do you remember that last year when you were my pupil?
Oh, to be free, to go out into the unknown, and never to have to worry about the future, never to be bothered about stupid money.
You need never waste a thought on such things. And that's nice too, my dear Beretta, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It's quite true.
Oh, just you see how nicely and comfortably we shall settle down together. And how safe and trusting we shall be with each other, Beretta.
Yes, I begin to... I really... It might work. Oh, don't say anything about it.
What is it, dearest?
It's that poor... Over there.
Your father?
No, the young sculptor. He's with Hilda.
Oh, Lyngstrand. What about him?
Oh, you know how ill he is.
It's not just his imagination.
Oh, no, it's real. He's not got very long. But perhaps it's best for him.
Why?
Well, because nothing much would come of his art anyway. Let's go before they come.
With all my heart, my dear Beretta.
Hi! You might wait for us.
Beretta and I would rather walk ahead.
Oh, it's so nice here now, Miss Hilda. Everybody's going in couples, always two and two together.
I could almost swear he is wooing her.
Oh, have you noticed anything?
It's not difficult if you've got eyes in your head.
But Miss Beretta won't have him, I'm certain.
No, she thinks he's got so frightfully old-looking and that he's going bald.
It's not just because of that. She wouldn't have him anyway.
How do you know?
There's someone else she's promised to keep in her thoughts.
Only to keep in her thoughts?
While he is away.
I suppose it's you.
It could be.
Has she promised you?
Yes, she promised, but don't you tell her I told you.
Oh, I'm as silent as the grave.
So awfully kind of her.
And when you come home again, will you get engaged and marry her?
Oh, no, I don't really think that would do. Oh, I don't consider marrying for a few years, and when I do come back, she'll be a bit too old for me.
But you still want her to sit here thinking of you?
Oh, yes. It'll be so useful to me as an artist. And she's got no real vocation for anything. Give her something to do. But it's nice of her all the same.
Do you think you'll be a better artist if you know the Belletta is thinking of you?
Oh, yes, I imagine so. If you know that somewhere in the world there's a gentle, reserved young woman quietly dreaming about you, it must be so... Oh, I don't know how to describe it.
Would you say thrilling?
Thrilling. Yes. Yes, thrilling. Oh, you're so clever, Miss Hilda. No, really, you're so clever. When I come back, you'll be about the same age as your sister is now. Perhaps you'll look like she does now, too. And perhaps you'll have the same sort of mind as well. Perhaps you'll be both yourself and her in one body.
Would you like that?
I don't really know. Yes, I think so. But now this summer, I like you as you are, just as you are.
You like me best this way.
I like you very much this way.
Mm. Tell me, you're an artist. Do you think I always ought to wear light summer dresses?
Oh, yes, I think you're quite right.
Light colours suit me.
They're absolutely charming.
But tell me, you're an artist. How do you think I'd look in black?
In black, Miss Hilda?
All in black. Do you think I'd look nice?
Well, black's not really quite suitable for summer. However, I think you'd look very nice in black, too. Especially with your figure.
Black up to the neck. Black frill round. Black gloves and a long black veil.
Oh, if you were dressed like that, Miss Hilda, I'd wish I were a painter so I could paint you as a beautiful young sorrowing widow.
Or a young sorrowing bride.
Oh, yes, that would be even better. But surely you don't want a dress like that.
I don't know, really. Oh, but it's so thrilling.
Thrilling?
Thrilling to think of, yes. Look!
Oh, the big English boat by the pier already.
No, dear Elida, I assure you, you're wrong. Oh, are you two there? It's true, isn't it, Mr. Lingstrand? The boat's not in sight yet.
The English boat?
Yes.
There it is, Doctor.
I knew.
Has it come?
Like a thief in the night, as you might say. So quietly.
You must take Hilda down to the pier. Hurry up. I'm sure she wishes to hear the music.
Yes, we were just going, Doctor.
Perhaps we'll follow you. We'll come soon.
Another couple. Come on, hurry.
He's here. Oh, yes, I feel it.
You'd better go in, Elida. Let me speak to him alone.
No, no, no. Do you see him, Vanga?
Good evening. I'm here, Elida.
Yes. Yes, the time has come.
Are you ready to go?
You can see that she is not.
Everything she needs for the journey I have with me on board. I've taken a cabin for her. And so I ask you, if you're ready to come with me. Of your own free will, to come with me.
Don't ask me. Don't tempt me.
Now, you must say yes or no.
To decide. For one's whole life, never to be able to change.
Never. In half an hour, it'll be too late.
Why do you want me so much?
Don't you feel, as I do, that we belong to each other?
Because of the promises?
Promises mean nothing. I want you because there's nothing else for me.
Oh, why didn't you come back before?
Elida.
What is it? I want to. I daren't. Oh, Vano, I feel in this man the whole might of the sea.
I see it, Elida. You will choose me in the end.
My wife has no choice. I am here to choose for her and to protect her. Yes, protect. If you don't get out of here, out of the country, and never come back again, you know what to expect.
No, no, Vangel, no.
What will you do?
I will have you arrested as a criminal. Now, before you go on board.
Oh, Vangel, how can you?
I was ready for that. I'm armed, you see.
No! Shoot me if you like. Not him.
Neither you nor him. Don't be afraid. It's for myself. I shall live and die a free man.
Vango, let me say this. Say it so that he can hear. Of course, you can keep me here. You have the power and the means, and you want to do it. But my mind,
My thoughts, my longings. You can't control them.
I see. Bit by bit, you are slipping away from me. This craving for something boundless and infinite, for something you can never have, it will end by driving you out of your mind.
Yes. Oh, yes.
It mustn't come to that. There is no other way to save you. None that I can see. And so I cancel our bargain. Now you can choose your way in full freedom.
Do you mean it, Vangel? From your heart?
With all my heart, I mean it.
But can you... Are you capable of letting it happen?
Yes, I can. Because I love you so much. You are free of anything to do with me. Now you can go back to your own real life. You can choose freely. Be responsible for your own life, Elena.
Free and responsible. Responsible.
Do you hear, Elena? It rings for the last time. Come away.
I won't go with you.
Elida. Elida.
So it's all over?
Yes. It's all over.
I see. There's something here that's stronger than my will.
For me, you are a dead man come from the sea and going back to the sea. I don't want you anymore. I'm not afraid of you.
Goodbye, Mrs. Vannell. From now on, you are nothing to me.
Elida, you are like the sea. You ebb and flow. What has happened?
Don't you see? It happened. It had to happen. When I was able to choose freely.
And the unknown? You don't want it anymore. It doesn't fascinate you.
I looked into it. I could have ended it if I'd wanted. I was free to choose. So I was also free to reject.
You think you live in images, in symbols. This longing for the sea, this yearning for him. They were the outward signs of an awakening, a growing desire for freedom.
I don't know. But you have been a good doctor. You discovered and you dared to use the only thing that could help me.
When we are desperate, we doctors will risk a good deal. But are you coming back to me, Elida?
Yes. My dear, faithful Vangel, I am coming back to you. Now I can, because I'm coming back of my own free will. As a responsible human being.
Elida. Elida. Oh. Now we can live for each other.
And for our two children.
Ours?
Not yet mine. But I shall win them.
Ours.
The English boat is leaving.
You can see Beth from here.
The last voyage of the year.
Soon all the waters will be locked, as the poet says. Sad, Mrs. Vangel. And now we're going to lose you as well. I hear you're going out to Skjoldvik.
No, not after all.
Tonight, we have both changed our plans.
Oh, really?
Father, is this true? You'll stay with us after all?
Yes, my dear Hilda. Well, if you want me to.
If I want you!
Oh. Well, this is certainly a surprise.
Well, you see, Mr. Arnholm, it's what we spoke of yesterday. When once you have become a land animal, you can never find your way back to the sea.
That's just like my mermaid.
A little, yes.
Except the poor mermaid dies of it. But human beings, they can acclimatize themselves. Yes, yes, I assure you, Mrs. Varnell, they can acclimatize.
They can if they are free, Mr. Ballastet.
And responsible, dear Alida.
Exactly. That's right.
That was The Lady from the Sea by Henrik Ibsen, translated by Anne Jericho, with Margaret Leighton as Elida Varnell and John Clements as Dr. Varnell. Arnholm was played by Michael Gwynn, Boletta by June Turbin, Lyngstrand by Richard Pascoe, Hilda by Tracy Rogers, Ballasted by Arthur Gomez, and The Stranger by Robert Ayres. Production for BBC World Theatre was by Charles Lefeu.